Our study this morning, we're going to look at the subject of the power of God's Holy Spirit and the blessings that we receive from Him. Before we do that, I ask that you pray with me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, You are gracious to us, and we thank You for Your love that You give us. Father, we ask Your blessings upon us now as we study Your Holy Word. Father, help us to rightly handle the Word of God. Father, we ask that You bless us now to understand Your Holy Spirit and the great things that He does for us, the blessings that He gives us, and how He helps us and strengthens us, just as we've had just now read. Father, bless us throughout this week to carry the power of Your Holy Spirit with us wherever we go, and that the fruit of the Spirit may be manifested in our life. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Two amazing scriptures read this morning. I appreciate those who read for us the might and the power that we have from God by God's Holy Spirit. And the instructions there from Peter as he speaks to the apostles in John chapter 14 through 16 that tells us so much about the Holy Spirit. So a lot of the questions that come to mind is, what does the Holy Spirit, what does He do in our lives? What does He do in the Christian life? There's a lot of ways to describe Him in pictures of the Holy Spirit. And one way to think of the work that He does is He's like the rain that waters a fertile field. The Spirit nourishes the good soil. And He is there to nourish us and strengthen us and to give us strength. And so as that passage we just had read from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, you have that prayer there. And we didn't finish the prayer, but I want to be emphatic for the very middle of it right there, that we are strengthened by God's Holy Spirit in the inner person. We are strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit. I think it's amazing to think about. And I think that's something that every one of us as Christians should know. We should take that into reality, that the strength that I have as a Christian. Now, when did we come to know that strength? And if you think about it, maybe you reflect upon your own life and you can say, yes, when I was baptized, when I became a Christian, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit and I have a strength in my life that's not like those who are in the world. And that should be true. You should know that. There should be a strength in your inner man that you can say, I have this strength from God that others don't have. What we see from the scriptures is that when we become a Christian, that the Spirit of God transforms our lives. He transforms the lives of those who are faithful. He makes them holy. And so one of the passages I want to look at this morning is in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. When we go to the Bible, we read about the Holy Spirit is not an it or her or a they. It is, He is He. And He is a part of God, the three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we read about. One way to understand this is that you have God the Father, the Creator, who made all things, who is all powerful, and that He is transcendent in heaven. The other way to understand this is, and so the way to understand the working of God as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is His presence in each place. So you have the Creator, God in heaven. You have the Holy Spirit that Psalm 139 says His presence is everywhere. Where we often hear about God being present everywhere. It's through His Holy Spirit. And then we have the Son of God, the Word come in the flesh, manifested in the body of flesh and blood. And that is Jesus Christ. And so you have the presence of God, heavenly, and in all places by His Spirit and in the flesh through Jesus Christ. Here we read about in 2 Corinthians 3, the transformation of the Holy Spirit. We see the blessings that are given to us as Christians. This is what we read. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And that, I want to be emphatic right there, that the Holy Spirit, He is God. When we're baptized, Jesus commanded to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they're equal and one together, God. So it says here again, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's another sermon to itself that we've covered a number of times. But we have liberty and freedom by God's Spirit. Freedom from the law here of condemnation that has been against us from the things that we've done that's wrong. But look at verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. This reminds me of the passage in James chapter 1, verse 23 and following, that describes God's word as a mirror. That you look into the mirror of God, and here he says this, that we behold the glory, the appearance of the Lord. And when we do so, he says, when we are being transformed into the same image. In other words, we're being made more like Christ. And it says, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we see what the mission of the Holy Spirit is. His mission is to transform us. And he does so by delivering to us the Word of God, the truth. There are a number of other passages that go along with that that tells us that is the means by which he does it. And it's throughout the scriptures. If you go to Nehemiah, if you looked in Nehemiah chapter 9, you have a few references there, verse 20 and verse 30, where Nehemiah references and he says, in times past the scriptures have come and it came to the people of God to teach them the truth. And God did so by his Holy Spirit. Other passages come to mind. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says there that by God's Holy Spirit that he guided holy men to write the Bible and to write the scriptures and to produce them. Zechariah 7:12 says this. He says, yes, they made their hearts like flint. Talking about those in rebellion in Israel who made their hearts hard. They rejected God's Spirit and his word. This is what they did. Refusing to hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts that had been sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. And it's by prophets and by holy men that God has spoken to you, humanity. And those things have been written down in the Bible and in the scriptures. And so when he says the law, he means that which has been written. And when he says the words of the Lord, we clearly again know that's the rest of the scripture. And they've been sent by his Holy Spirit. And then it says, thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. In other words, they're being held accountable for this. When Moses wrote the law, it was kept there in the Holy of Holies. And it was called a witness and a testimony against those who broke it and who went against it. It was there constantly as a reminder to them. In fact, when we go back and we look at Moses, the Holy Spirit, he's there as well. So from the beginning of the Bible to the very end, we look at the Holy Spirit hovering upon the face of the waters. Remember in Genesis chapter 1 and creation? And then coming to the time of Moses, it says that God's Holy Spirit was upon Moses. And that's in Numbers chapter 11. In fact, Moses, under a lot of stress and having to handle the millions of Israelites who have come out of Egypt in the Exodus, he needs help. And here, he has these 70 elders that are selected and gathered from the tribes by which God's Holy Spirit comes upon them. And then there's two other men there by which God's Holy Spirit comes upon them and they were able to prophesy. So we see God's Spirit throughout the Bible. And we as Christians need to take this to heart to understand what the Bible has to say about God's Spirit. Another thing we see here in the Bible is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 18, that the Holy Spirit enlightens our hearts. This is often called the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now, the things I'm mentioning this morning I want to point out to you is, while we're going through these passages of Scripture and looking at what God's Spirit does, there are a lot of people today who will make claims about the Holy Spirit that are not in the Bible, that has never been promised, that was never prophesied about, that was never written down, and they'll make bold claims. I remember hearing a story of a lady one time where she believed that God had spoken to her by the Holy Spirit and had told her if she had pulled into a specific car lot and went in there and asked for a car that they would give her one for free. You know how that went? Didn't go very well. So what was she hearing? She wasn't hearing God's Holy Spirit. And the number one way that I can know that I'm here, that I have the revelation of God's Holy Spirit, is by opening my Bible and reading it. Reading what holy men have written down, the instruction that they've given to us. And it's by that truth, by the Word of God, that we find strength in the inner man, like it says there in Ephesians 3 and verse 16. So the Holy Spirit enlightens our hearts. And it says there in Ephesians 1 that He enlightens our hearts with what? Wisdom and understanding. Remember what James says? James says, if you pray for wisdom, God will do what? He'll give it to you. And God promises that to us, that if we pray, we will have wisdom. So the Spirit, He's the power. He gives the power, I should say, behind the light, the Word of God. He's the one that gives us the truth, and He gives us wisdom and instruction. Another thing the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit is we have a command from God to be not filled with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have a role in that. I have a place and a purpose to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And so Christians are commanded, again, Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that we as Christians are the temple of God, and God's Spirit dwells within us. And that we are not to sin because we will grieve God's Holy Spirit. And that's not just in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament as well. Isaiah talks about not grieving God's Holy Spirit who dwells within us. What we see about in the promises that are given to us, Joel 2 tells us there's coming a time when God will pour out His Holy Spirit. And Titus 3 says God's Holy Spirit has been poured out upon every Christian, everyone who has been washed in the regeneration, who has been baptized into Christ. When you go to Acts chapter 2 and you read verse 38 there, you see very clearly that it says, what's the commandment there from Peter? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, He is active in our lives. He dwells within us. He strengthens us and He gives us power. He gives us wisdom and understanding, and He's given that through the Scriptures. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32 says this, Acts 5:32, and we are His witnesses. This is the apostle speaking. We are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. I notice that. I've heard some people say sometimes, well, I need God's Holy Spirit to make me obey. Here, the apostles say God gives His Spirit as a blessing to those who obey Him. And in the context of obedience, it begins with repentance and turning from my sin, changing the way that I'm living, coming to God, being born again through the water of baptism, and I receive the blessings of God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit does not make you obey Him, but the Holy Spirit does work to make you holy. He gives you the strength and the ability to do that. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that God's will for us is to be holy people. God wants a holy people. And He's given us the power and the ability by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11 tells us that when we're washed in the name of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit makes us holy so that we have no sins against us, so that we stand right with God. With those things said, I want to share with you a main passage this morning from Jesus' words in John chapter 16. You have your Bible. Go with me to John 16. We're going to look at verses 7 through 13 before we conclude. And I think this is very fascinating because when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about the way in which God has blessed us. But we don't usually think about what the Holy Spirit, what He communicates to the world. And the world can see and hear what the Spirit has to reveal to the world. So look at me with this. Go over to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. Many times, what the Holy Spirit reveals in Scripture is convicting. There's things that go along with that too, as far as the Holy Spirit convicting us. And it's not a bad thing. I think sometimes when people feel guilty or they have sorrow, they think this is always a bad thing. But what does the Bible say about sorrow? When you've done something wrong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says this. He says, I wrote to you and I regret that I have made you sorrowful. And he says, but also rejoice in it because it was with a godly sorrow. And he said, that godly sorrow led to repentance so that you changed your life and that to salvation. It's good to have godly sorrow. It's good for us to regret the things that we've done in the past and to have that conflict. And that is the work of God's Holy Spirit in that. And it's not something for us to be troubled by. We want that. But the world is going to have a worldly sorrow. If you remember what it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says that worldly sorrow, what are they going to do with it? They're just going to reject it. They're going to stand up against God. They're not going to listen anymore. And listen to what this says here from Jesus. Jesus is talking to his apostles. This is the night of which he's going to be betrayed. The very next day he's going to be crucified. And this is what we read in John chapter 16. Look in verse 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Talking to his apostles. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. He's again talking about the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit when I go away, when I die. That's what we see happens in the Bible, in the book of Acts. Verse 8, when He has come, He will convict the world. The Holy Spirit will come and convict the world. In what way? Convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And Jesus says here in verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. So you know, think about that. Jesus says, they've hated me. Don't be surprised they're going to hate you as well. And sometimes when people hear the word of God, they reject it and they'll call it hate and they'll say all kinds of things about it. But he says here, that the Word of God comes, it comes by the Holy Spirit, it convicts of sin. He says also he's going to reveal of righteousness and of judgment. And he says, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. You're going to know the right way. And of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. The ruler of the world. Most likely that's a reference to Satan or anybody else in alliance with him. The Holy Spirit has come revealing the truth that they are living in sin, telling us there is a right way to live and showing us that there is a coming judgment if we do not repent. So when I look at the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the strength that He gives us, I recognize the full work that He does, that He has come into the world to convict the world. And the gospel that we proclaim to many, well, it'll bother many. It will strike them. And it'll have an effect upon them. In many ways, it could, you know, kind of disturb them. But we as Christians, we're blessed. We have the blessings of God's Holy Spirit. I want to finish with a few scriptures to remind us again of those blessings. When we become Christians, we put on Christ in baptism, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible gives a list of gifts that are given by God's Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And those are singularly given out in the first century to help establish the church. But here's the gift that all Christians have, and you're familiar with it. There's a little cafe in Tallahassee, Alabama, when I go and visit family, and it's on the walls there. And it's this passage here in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things by which when the Holy Spirit, when He strengthens us from within, He gives us comfort and peace, when He's directing us by the Word of God and by truth, we have these nine things in our life. I want love in my life. I want joy in my life. I want peace. I want to endure and have long suffering through difficult times. I want to have kindness when others are not kind to me. I want to be good to others when they're not good to me. I want to be faithful in all times when others are not, so I can continually be a reminder that there is a God who loves us and cares for us. And that I have gentleness for those who need to hear the truth. And that I have self-control in my life. Those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. Thank Him for it. The Spirit of Christ speaks on our behalf as well. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit of God helps us and He speaks to God for us. He's there, just as Christ is at the right hand of God interceding for us. It says this in Romans, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. You have weaknesses? I do. I have a lot of weaknesses. And I need the strength of God. There again, in contrast to my weaknesses, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it says this, the Bible says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes you go through things that are struggling and you don't know what to put into words. You're just groaning. And listen to what the Bible says. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. He prays for us. Speaks to God on our behalf with groanings, that's our groanings, which cannot be uttered. Which cannot be uttered, cannot be fully expressed. Lastly, as I remind you of the blessings of the Holy Spirit and His work and what He does, I want to remind you of this. That on the last day, when Christ comes back, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give life to our bodies and resurrect us from the dead. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, by dying to your sins, being buried in water to walk in newness of life, you don't have that hope yet. You don't have the forgiveness of sins. You don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit yet. And you don't have the hope of resurrecting on the last day. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 11. He says, but if the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. We want God's Spirit to dwell within us. And we have that blessing when we're baptized. It says, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit, through His Spirit who dwells in you. There's a number of other passages to add to that, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit by which we will rise on the last day, that we will resurrect the way that Christ rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:14, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us we will resurrect from the dead as Christ did. That's the Christian hope. That's what we look forward to. I encourage you this morning, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus says in John 3 and verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you have not been born of the water and the Spirit, we encourage you this morning to make that decision. We'd love to study with you. Love to encourage you this morning. You need prayers of any kind. We encourage you to come forward right now or speak to any of the leaders in this congregation. Let's stand and sing together.